You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back, Kurt. We were just talking about Gatorade as being advertised or endorsed as health food like cigarettes were a long time ago. Did you want to add anything to that?
Well, today, let's be absolutely truthful about Gatorade. It is Coke in sheep's clothing.
Okay.
It is simply a sugary, colored, mouthfeel additive beverage. The amount of the vaunted electrolytes are practically just salt. There's untold numbers of ways to rehydrate that don't require you to eat sugar, so much sugar and food coloring.
Could you give us just a quick recipe on, like, how would we make an electrolyte drink that's healthy?
Well, electrolytes are really mostly just salt.
Okay.
I mean, you just need to eat, if you eat an apple, you can rehydrate yourself.
Okay.
An apple and water is practically just as good. And so, and even the origins of Gatorade, which didn't ever have any food coloring and didn't have so much sugar, that was really only even considered necessary for the Florida Gator football team doing two-a-day workouts in 100-degree August Florida, right?
Right.
The 6-year-old T-baller who's being handed a 22-ounce Gatorade by their parents to rehydrate following their T-ball isn't anywhere close to needing any of that.
Okay, yeah. All right, tell us about this movement, the foundation that you've done, the Pure Food Kids Foundation.
Yes. And what was the question?
Yeah. Well, just tell us about how it came to be. This is your brainchild, the Pure Food Kids Foundation. You're working with grades 4 and 5s, I think it was, and it's implemented into which schools? How are you implementing it?
Most of the schools in the Seattle area, and we're started down, we'll be in 100 or 150 classrooms in New York City this year.
Wow.
And what it is, it's a 2.5-hour piece of curriculum where we send our instructors out to take over the classroom for 2.5 hours.
Do you feed them like your wonderful restaurant food?
We go out to kids. Yeah.
Okay.
And we take over the classroom for 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we basically do four things. One, first, we teach kids that food marketers oftentimes lie to them. Mm-hmm. That is to say that the package doesn't truly give them an accurate representation of what's inside it. And in many cases, things that have health claims are the least healthy. Secondly, we show them how to use the government labeling to figure out what's really in that food. Thirdly, we teach them what all those funny-sounding names are and why they might want to avoid them, the funny chemical additives. And then lastly, the kids work together in teams to cook a vegetarian chili made out of things that they wouldn't have eaten by themselves, like green tomatoes and yellow peppers and cilantro. And through the magic of working together as a team, they all end up eating this chili, and really, for many of them, it's their very first experience ever experiencing the joy of cooking.
What a wonderful program. That sounds excellent. How does diet really compare to cigarettes? I mean, you're dealing with kids right at the age where they're really starting their own habits, starting bad habits. How do you compare that, the cigarettes to the diet?
Well, we started on the path of educating 4th and 5th graders because I remembered in my own time as being a 4th and 5th grader how effective the anti-smoking campaign was in coming to my classroom and showing me how awful smoking was. And then I went home and really tried my best to get my parents to quit smoking. So we imagined that we would be creating little fourth grade Trojan horses that would be going into the home and arguing for change in the way the family buys food, which ultimately we know will change the supply.
Right. Those are the good ones to teach. That's a very teachable age. Why do you think the nutritional education is so important to go in right there at that age? Is that have you seen studies on that, like grade 4 or 5 being the most important time?
Well, if that's almost that they're the most important time, it's that they're smart enough to understand what we're telling them, and they're still innocent enough to accept information. Once kids get into middle school, I don't know if you have kids, but once they get into middle school, they're a little tougher to manage.
Mm-hmm. So you're really empowering them before they hit high school.
Right.
That's great. What kind of diet were you raised on, Kurt? You were raised in the Puget Sound. Was it a typical heritage diet being on the Salish Sea? Were you raised with pure food, or did you kind of grocery store shop?
You know, in my childhood, I'm 57. So in my childhood, there really wasn't that many chemicals in food.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot cleaner than it is today. Even the processed food of the day didn't have nearly as much problems as it does today.
Mm-hmm. And looking at your book, the way you've written it, I see it as being extremely helpful at utilizing food wisely, because you've got great recipes, and then you've got the day after, how to use it well again and make it really special and creative. How did you get that nice flow with all the leftovers?
Well, one of the things that people say is that cooking just takes too much time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this idea that if you would divide up and you make something, you spend some time one day, and then for 3 or 4 other days, you kind of can live off of that time you've invested at an earlier day. And so I was trying to just make cooking more accessible for busy families.
Okay. Yeah, that's you've really worked in some great time management into it. So for cooks who want to eat well and have real flavorful, wonderful whole food every day, it's just a beautiful recipe book. So whether you're a serial dieter or whether you're trying for the first time to improve the way you eat, pure food could revolutionize how you approach food and lead you down the path to a healthier life. Kurt, is there anything, I want to really thank you for the work you've done with children and foods, but is there anything else you'd like to bring to us just to wrap up this talk?
Well, the last thing I want to say is that vote with your dollars. Every time you spend a dollar on any food, you are sending a demand signal saying that food you bought is okay. So be intentional with how you spend your money and try to help improve the food system for all.
Okay. And in your recipe book, you're really going for things that aren't packaged, don't have labels so much. There's a lot of, you know, go get your ginger, go get your garlic, go get your tomatoes. Is that's a good way to shop?
Sure. Yeah. And then the second thing I'd say is don't be afraid of waste. If you're buying real food and having it in your refrigerator, you're going to have waste, and that's okay.
Okay. So you just need some chickens in the backyard to eat it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been talking to Kurt Demier. He is the author of Pure Food. And how would I get this book if I'm looking to buy it?
Well, Amazon or any of the online booksellers are all carrying it.
Okay. Do you have a website?
We have a website, sugarmountain.com.net, sugarmountain.net, or thepurefoodkids.org.
Okay. Great, great resources. Just a quick question. Sugar Mountain? We're trying to get away from sugar.
I know. It's named after the Neil Young song.
I thought so. Good. Good go. Okay. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Kurt.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Beth Darnell. She is the author of Opioid-Free Pain Relief Kit. This kit includes a CD to help induce deep brain changes, relaxation, and your personal planning for pain relief.